Doc. The clock has started. Roger.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning, Kyle.
Did you remember to pack your underwear?
I'll be right back.
Did you remember to pack your toothbrush?
My toothbrush?
Because I don't have those for you. This is not a hotel. I won't be able to give you little travel-sized things of both shampoo and toothpaste. Did you bring your mouse ears?
What hotel is giving away toothpaste?
Shea Roderick is down here in Southern California for your soon-to-be trip to the Disneyland Magic Kingdom of Disneyland.
Yeah. I'm going down there to celebrate our brother's birthday, and we're gonna traverse Disneyland and all its magic wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So excited.
All its splendor. I'm quite excited as well.
What's weird is that neither of us discussed whether or not we were going to do any morning show in your studio.
No,
together.
No. I don't.
But I think I know why.
Okay. All right.
We have done that in the past. We've done a few episodes in your studio. We've done one in my studio.
I don't even think we should call them studios. Literal nightmare.
They weren't even studios. They were, let's hobble something together because we forgot all about all the work that goes into doing this remotely.
Yeah, well, in person, it's so much harder. I mean, this is all backyard baseball, but it's so much harder to do with two microphones on the same mixer because we don't have all of the same equipment that we have in each of our respective studios.
Right, I'd have to bring all my gear.
That's right. We don't talk about it much, but we are in two separate locations. You're traveling down here today for, I don't know, like 8 hours probably. Depends on how traffic is. Yeah.
That's fine.
It was pretty bad yesterday, but, you know.
I don't care. I'm going down for the Disney.
Doesn't matter.
I'm a huge Disney fan. Disneyland fan.
A lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I know you are.
We had a good Christmas, Kyle.
I most definitely did. No, which seems out of the norm, I guess. We always spend Christmas together, but
right.
But now we have a real-time follow-up, Kenny. We have a question in the chat room here over on Twitch, twitch.tv/goodstuff_FM. How'd you two meet? Are you friends IRL? You could say so. We actually traveled out of the same womb, the two of us. We're best friends, you could say. Womb mates.
We're not twins.
Oh, true.
Don't put it that way.
You just stayed in about 2.5 more years.
Right.
And I came out first.
That would be the worst kind of condition to have as a mother, to have a pregnancy where you have twins, but one just stays in for a couple more years.
A parasitic relationship.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound good.
In that case, I would be the same age, but I wouldn't develop the same way. Oh, that would
I don't
weird.
Like where this is going. We're brothers.
We're not doctors.
We're brothers.
We're not doctors either.
We're not. No, we are not.
So I was going to say Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, thanks.
And then show you what I got from my wife for Christmas.
Oh boy. Here we go. As he leans over and bends at the waist down to where I can't see him in the video anymore over on twitch.tv/goodstuff_FM. I did want to make a little bit of a note here and thank you, viewers and listeners, for going out there, going to our either goodstuff.fm/live page or going over to Twitch, signing up and giving us a follow. We blew through our 2017 follower goal right here underneath me. We're at 53 of 50. That means three more than of you than I expected to do this, did it? So thank you. We appreciate it. It'll help us get to where we need to get to make this happen. And speaking of, a new follower, Ciroro. Thank you for following Ciroro. That makes me
unfollow for mispronouncing my name.
Yes, I apologize thoroughly. So show me your right. gift.
So
the my new wife, podcast coming to goodstuff.fm sometime
no,
soon.
No.
Show me your gif. Maybe. Maybe.
Very, it's a very visual it's podcast. It's a
completely visual medium.
Right. So this was a gift for my wife. It is an amp, but it's a key holder.
If you're looking on the
video currently,
okay.
It's an amp face and it has four inputs, but the inputs are
don't leave me hanging.
They're these quarter inch
what
plugs
what?
That go on your keychain.
What?
And then they plug in.
All right. So the question. Yeah. So Kenny's showing me this small little, what would you say that is? 8 inches by 3 inches. Little cube. Looks like a head for an amp.
I guess it would be
an amp itself. Looks like the head for a speaker. Anyway, it's got little quarter inch plugs. You plug it in. Is that a mono? Is that?
It is.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
They're getting some right. I like that.
Well, it's fine. And then it turns on.
See, the thing is, we have a question in the chat room as well. Is she into music, though?
I am. She knows I am.
Yeah.
I'm into guitars. So there we go.
So okay.
I got to find a way to hang this on my wall. It's pretty heavy. It's all made of wood. So it's awesome. It's durable and authentic. And
a couple questions. Can you plug it into a speaker?
No.
Okay.
It's just a battery right. back there.
A battery for the light. Got
for the
it.
Light.
All right. Two, if you've already attached it to your keys, have you tried putting your keys into your DAW? Like, have you tried plugging in things to your computer?
Yeah, I wonder what's actually, I can probably unscrew. Oh, no, maybe they're glued. I was going to unscrew the actual plug to see if I can,
Could you unplug yourself right now and plug that in? right into you. Please don't do that. We don't need you to do that. It's a very thoughtful gift. An incredibly thoughtful gift from
It looks awesome.
Your my sister-in-law.
Yeah, I really
if you're making a family tree at home, we're making that a little easier for you now.
I don't have any tools to hang it up, though. That's the problem. So I gotta figure out another way to do
it. I have tools. How about you bring it down? You hang it up here. You can use it for...
That's not okay.
You can use it for 3 days and leave it if you want. I mean, maybe it's a gift for me, too.
No.
All right. Well, I should disclose then, if we're talking about Christmas gifts, you and your wife gifted me something incredible.
It was mainly just me.
It was please don't take the credit after saying that she was kind and got you a gift. Okay. All right. I'll give you the credit. It was a 1988 era, 1989 era Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles pizza thrower.
That's right.
Which famously... I think we have to find the clip somewhere. We need to find
our parents have it.
When we streamed back in 1992 on Twitch, we'll grab that clip of me screaming at the top of my lungs when I did receive this gift as a child.
Right.
I tried to reenact that as best I could when you gifted it to me this year.
I have video. It's okay.
Okay. How and where can we post that?
I'm not going to post it until I have, original, visual evidence. that I can compare it to.
Okay. So, side by side, Nintendo 64 kid or whatever. All right. Okay. Right. All right. Yeah. Sounds good. I feel like we missed the boat on that one, but that's okay. Kenny, speaking of going to Disneyland, I'm going to interject here real quick. We're going to play a game.
Oh, perfect. Please tell me you have a Disney quiz for me.
Yes, I do.
Who are the voices of the mouse that is not you or me? M-I-C-K-E-Y-O-R-N-O-T. Hey there, hi there, ho there, you're as wrong as you can be. M-I-C-K-E-Y-O-R-N-O-T. Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse. Can you guess the voices? It goes high, 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 high. Come along and sing a song and join the jamboree. M-I-C-K-E-Y-O-R-N-O-T.
Kenny, it's time for us to play a round of Mickey or not. I've got a list.
It took me a while to recognize what the song actually was.
Oh, come on.
I mean, the fanfare at the top is almost non sequitur.
I know. I let it go as long as I possibly could. Right. We're going to play a game, Kenny, called Mickey or Not. I'm going to name a couple of people that
I'm going to say Mickey Mouse, and you're going to guess
not.
Is it Mickey Mouse
or not. That's right. No, I'm actually, we were talking about voices and voice acting, and I'm going to name a couple of voice actors here, and you'll need to guess whether they are Mickey or not, or have they played a Mickey or not. I don't know if you know very specific. See, this is an impossible quiz for you. You did way too well on Taco Bell or not last time, and this is payback.
Okay.
Number one, Walt Disney.
No.
Did Walt Disney ever play Mickey? Voice acting.
Voice acting. He may have been the whistle in Steamboat Willie.
Come on. Yes or no? Mickey or not?
I'll say yes.
That is correct. He has played in a number of them. He did a whole bunch.
Oh, really? Okay.
Of Mickey voices. Yeah.
I was thinking like 1960s Walt, you know, when he was power hungry.
Sure. Yeah.
Really good Mickey.
And there were a lot of real bad things going on in Disneyland. Yeah. Kenny, number two.
I made it. All right.
You already got it. You already got it right. Kenny, number two. I'm clicking. I have two mice next to each other here. This is a freaking nightmare. Albert Hartman, Mickey or not?
No idea. I'm going to say yes.
I made that up.
Great.
Number three, Brett Ewan, Mickey or not?
Brett Ewan?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like some Pig Latin thing that you made up.
Mickey or not?
I'm going to say yes.
That is correct. I believe currently the voice of Mickey in a number of commercials and the lot, you know.
Oh, boy. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm waiting for you to do it. Les Perkins, Mickey or not?
Les Perkins. I think I'm more liking more Perkins, not less Perkins.
Which one?
Not.
Indeed, Les was a Mickey. Kenny, next one.
You're not offering any history here.
That's like, right.
He
zero.
Was Mickey in the 1980s.
I just wanted to kick your butt this morning with a quiz.
Okay.
Harold Daly, Mickey or not?
No.
All right, that one's good. Seth Green, Mickey or not?
No. Well, hold on. Hold on.
Trick question.
He may have done so on like a Robot Chicken episode. So I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Okay. All right. Jerry Kellogg, Mickey or not?
Jerry Kellogg. That sounds so made up. So no.
Dang it. All right. Wayne Allwine, Mickey or not?
Wayne Wayne Al Wayne Wall mm-hmm. Wine.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. I guess when I give you a 50% chance on getting this right.
I begin to develop my own pattern, and because we're brothers, it's a similar pattern to you.
Gosh darn it. Okay. James McDonald. Mickey or not.
No, not.
You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Norman Johnson, Mickey or not.
Oh gosh, so boring names. Norman Johnson doing Mickey Mouse?
That's right.
Come on. That's like, it sounds like you're trying to say Norm MacDonald. And if Norm MacDonald had done the... Actually, I'm just thinking about that. I'm going to say no.
All right, last one. Harvey Cooper.
Mickey, Harvey Cooper?
Mickey or not. That's,
no. Not.
Okay. Thank you. You cut out on your recording. It'll sound like I was asleep at the wheel, but over here on actual live time, I could not hear you at all.
Oh, okay. I may have said it under my breath.
No. That is correct, Kenny. Well, thank you for indulging.
I think I did pretty well on that one.
You actually did. And I
measure how many dings I got.
I don't like this. We need to find a quiz, an or not quiz, where you do bad. Like real bad.
I just have really good deductive skills.
Maybe it's me.
Maybe it's you.
Maybe I'm the problem.
You need a partner in crime.
I'm having a self-actualization moment here. Maybe I'm the problem.
You can continue to do the songs, Kyle, but have someone else do the questions.
Okay. All right.
Source that out. Okay. Have someone else try to trick me.
That's a really, really good idea, Kenny. another good idea is to move onto the headlines.
These are today's headlines.
What's happening?
Kyle, Google's voice-generating AI is now indistinguishable from humans. Ooh, it's kind of scary, actually. Humans have officially given their voices to machines. Yeah, a research paper published by Google this month, which has not been peer-reviewed. Okay, maybe show it to some peers. It details
that's what they're doing right now.
Well, okay.
Let's review it. Let's be scientists.
Let's be peers.
That's right.
It details a text-to-speech system called Tacotron 2. That's made up.
Can we talk about that name?
Hold on. It claims near-human accuracy at imitating audio of a person speaking from text, like I just did. I was reading from the article, and it could. I might be the AI.
Maybe we need Tacotron 2 to read these questions when I do the blank or not segments.
Well, there are some audio examples here.
Yes. Are you ready to listen to a couple of these and guess which one is here the AI?
AI or not?
Or not. That's right. Are you ready for that, Kenny?
Well, I have visual proof here, but okay, sure.
No, don't look. What, would you quit it?
I'm reading the article.
That's fine.
Okay,
but
let me just really quickly say that the system is Google's second official generation of the technology, and it consists of two deep neural networks. Whoa, what is that? The first network translates the text into a spectrum, a visual way to represent audio frequencies over time, and that spectrogram is then fed into WaveNet, another system from Alphabet's AI research lab DeepMind, which then reads the chart and generates the corresponding audio elements accordingly. So it's using basically two AIs. One is generating the waveform, and then one is processing the waveform. So rather than having one do both processes, it's using two to kind of get like double oomph on it. Does that make sense?
As much as it can make sense, Kenny, I'm going to play two clips here, and you're going to need to guess which one is the human in the studio and which one is the is the two, AI. The two artificial intelligences that you have described thusly.
Right.
Here we go.
Okay. George Washington was the first president of the United States.
That's number one. This is number two.
George Washington was the first president of the United States.
One of those is a computer. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to say the first one was a computer.
George Washington was the first president of the United States.
Like it's too perfect. Nobody ends a sentence like that.
The intonation, you can kind of hear where they're going. The second one, it has a lot more subtle variants. Play the second one again.
Okay. Second one.
George Washington was the first president of the United States.
I mean, we're learning a lot here, which is good.
States. Like it's mid word intonation change.
Dates.
Okay. Like that? Dates.
States.
It's states. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. United now, States.
Now, are you going to reveal which one is which?
No, I'm not.
But you that's can for look, our listeners to decide.
That's right. You can look on. I think the point is it's indistinguishable. You can't tell the difference between the two.
It's very close.
Are you ready for another one?
Sure.
That girl did a video about Star Wars lipstick.
Human or not?
Okay.
That girl did a video about Star Wars lipstick.
Human or not?
That one's a lot better at the comparison. Play the first one again.
That girl did a video about Star Wars lipstick.
They both sound so real. It's wild.
That girl did a video about Star Wars lipstick.
Man, that is good. I don't like it. You know what I was listening to? I was listening to the very last sound, the very last phonetic sound where it was k and like the breath.
Oh, that's not what I expected. Okay.
The breath off of the last phonetic sound, mm-hmm. It's the same. That's crazy. That's cool. Okay. I can't tell with that one. I wouldn't be able to tell.
One more, Kenny.
Okay.
The buses aren't the problem. They actually provide a solution.
Human or not?
Mm-hmm.
The buses aren't the problem. They actually provide a solution.
Human or not?
I think that second one is a human.
It's not. Both of them are the computer.
Oh, really?
Yes. So what they did, in an example, they put problem and solution in all caps, and it caused it to
emphasize
those two words.
The buses aren't the problem. They actually provide a solution.
What?
That is the thing that is missing from current text speech. The emphasis.
On the syllable. Yeah.
On the
That's what I'm saying. It's wild. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm impressed.
I'm impressed as well.
Thanks, Google. You're tricking us continually and making us
question our trust in human beings. I've got a thumb up, except it's not peer reviewed yet. And except it's just kind of like a commercial.
It kind of is. It's them showing off at this point, right?
It's all right.
That's okay.
Soon we'll be playing a game of human or not. So just get excited.
Not AI or not. It's human or not.
That's right.
Because everything else will be robots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to move on here, Kyle. Apple is now facing lawsuits after saying it slows down aging iPhones. Boo-hoo! Apple is, I guess, defrauding iPhone users.
Now hold on. You don't need to be so mean to people who are putting together lawsuits against the big old fruit company.
Boohoo. Apple Inc. Incorporated, according to Reuters, is defrauding iPhone users by slowing devices without warning to compensate for poor battery performance, according to 8 lawsuits filed in various federal courts in the weeks since the company opened up about the year-old software change. The tweak may have led iPhone owners to misguided attempts to resolve issues over the last year, the lawsuit contends. Okay, so that's the lawsuit. The lawsuit isn't saying you slowed down my phone. It's saying, Apple, you didn't disclose that you were slowing down my phone, and therefore I was trying a bunch of things to make it not so slow, and it damaged my reputation?
You have been defrauded.
Yeah, so it's the fact that Apple withheld this information. Mm-hmm. This is misguided article.
Right. I'm understanding like you literally backpedaled, but with your hands.
Yes, if you were watching the Twitch stream, you could watch me backpedal.
That's fine. It's okay. I think the confusing part, and I'll be honest, I've avoided reading any of these articles about lawsuits and the fact that the folks aren't understanding that battery health goes down over time.
Right.
And Apple artificially limiting the processing power of older devices so that it compensates and sort of gives you a similar experience is just kind of, that's how Apple does.
Right. And when people say when you get a new phone or you get a new device, it feels so much faster. Well, duh, because it's a brand new battery and you're kind of testing out full capacity for the very first time. Of course, it's going to feel awesome.
Well, and
if you were to buy an old phone mm-hmm. with a brand new battery, it would feel a lot faster. And
I just think people would be way more mad if they continued to get the same processing power out of their devices, but battery life was significantly decreased over time.
Unless Apple is developing their own batteries. They're at the mercy of other companies or other distributors.
Having dealt with the Nexus 6P 2 years after it came out and getting 4 hours maximum of battery life per day and having to charge, you know, every chance I could, I can't.
In fact, it sounds that would be worse to me.
Yes, I agree. It sounds like a more ideal situation.
You're probably going to spend more money on accessories, you know, battery packs or external battery chargers. Docks in your car and your desk and everything, everywhere that you can possibly find to charge your device, you're going to be purchasing all these things to do so, that instead of, you know, fixing the actual problem, which is, oh, it's the phone, it's
all that does too is create bad habits of charging your battery as frequently as you can, which is going to ruin the future battery you get in your new device because you're constantly discharging and recharging at those top limits.
It's giving you really bad habits.
In terms of battery health, it's a bad thing to do.
The batteries are getting better.
But
The batteries are better.
So, I mean, I don't know anything about legal stuff, but
let's just say what Apple's stance on this really is. Hold on, really quick. I'm going to say what Apple's stance is. The company acknowledged last week for the first time in detail that operating system updates, sorry, clearing my throat, that have been released since, quote, last year for the iPhone 6, 6S, iPhone SE, and iPhone 7 included a feature to, quote, smooth out power supply from batteries that are cold, old, or low on charge. So the make of the phone determines which software you're getting, and then that software is limiting your processing.
And they're already kind of doing that already with the inability for older devices to have iOS 11 or iOS 10 or whatever. So it's
right.
You're kind of artificially limiting those already just based on processing power and availability of the operating system. But
I don't think that people should be so mad. But when you see a headline come across your news feed that says Apple has lawsuits against them because it's slowing down phones, you're going to get in an uproar, but you're not really going to look into it. Right.
Well, Kenny, speaking of cold, old, and fruit, I guess. What? Today's Apple. National. It's fruit. I mean, it's a yeah. You know, sure. Today's national day is National Fruitcake Day.
I think we've done this before.
Tell me how you feel about fruitcake.
But I've never. I don't think I've ever had like that legitimate brick fruitcake.
Okay, this sounds familiar. I'm remembering. Hey, remember when?
Play the harp.
I have to look for it. Let me grab my correct mouse here. And find that one.
I can hear that very loud mouse click.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Hey, remember when the Egyptians used to like fruitcakes so much that they put them in their tombs? They thought that fruitcakes would survive the long journey to the afterlife. The Egyptians did.
The Egyptians, right.
Not the fruitcakes.
This is where all fruitcake comes from, by the way.
From Egypt.
From ancient Egypt.
That's right. That's right.
We've never made a new one since then. We just keep finding old ones, and then that's what you send.
Why don't we make our fruitcakes in the shape of pyramids? I feel like that would be the most traditional way.
How are you going to make that? You're going to like form it kind of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yeah.
What do you
with the mashed potatoes.
Actually, you know, I wonder how that would cook or bake, I guess.
A pyramid of cake. Probably,
show title.
Probably pretty show title pretty poorly, because sure. it's big and thick on the bottom, and and the top would just get burned, probably. You'd have to put like a little hat, like a cone of foil on it. You've seen the Great British Bake Off. Don't look at me like I'm wrong. You know.
All right, Kyle, your task for the next week is to bake me a pyramid cake.
I'm going to be in the kitchen all the days. I won't be able to go to Disneyland. Nope. I don't like this at all. Chat room is probably correct. Bake it as a square, and you can shave it down from a larger cube.
Okay.
You could also cut the inverse of the pyramid and create two pyramids, because you would get the four sides and then it would line up and you could fit them together. Math here in the morning. That's right. Even the Crusaders knew that fruitcakes would withstand a long journey, Kenny.
Okay.
You knew as well.
I'm no Crusader.
You knew exactly what the Crusaders knew. Great. Fruitcakes were the wedding cake of choice in England.
Oh.
Hmm.
Oh.
You want a little bit of fruitcake?
Oh, my gosh.
Kenny?
Kyle, don't.
Yes? What's going on?
Not only have we offended people who like fruitcake, but we now have offended all of England.
You're welcome. Fruitcake is perfectly edible as long as there is no mold on it.
How are you supposed to know?
You eat it.
Oh, you eat the mold.
Does it taste like mold? Maybe. Kenny, also, if your fruitcake dries out, if you've got a fruitcake, if you find yourself in possession of a fruitcake and it dries out, soak it in alcohol or some other liquid and it'll become as edible again, according to this article here.
Okay.
I wanted to let you know as well that most fruitcakes, though they're from England, they have actually made their way all the way up to Antarctica. Way down to, I guess, supposedly. And the ant part. 106-year-old fruitcake was left by someone named Captain Scott. Robert Falcon Scott. Scott of the Antarctic.
I think we've covered this history before.
Oh,
and we
my
said
gosh.
That guy's name is so
no,
cool.
No. Are we just reliving the same show over and over again?
Robert Falcon Scott.
It's a great name. It's a wonderful name.
Captain Robert Falcon Scott.
So they...
eats his fruitcake. With a knife.
No, he actually ate stewed penguin and champagne, mostly. But that's a separate issue.
Could you soak it in rubbing alcohol?
Turpentine.
Like 90%?
Snow.
Rubbing alcohol?
Probably. That sounds awful. So they found the 106-year-old fruitcake here, Kenny, in the Antarctic.
Mm-hmm.
The tin was rusted, but the team that recovered it said that the cake was in, quote, excellent condition and smelled edible.
Yeah, we've covered this before, I think.
All right, good. Well, welcome to the Good Stuff Morning Show, the show where we just cover the same stuff we covered the previous 4 years.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we have 364 day long memory, and so the next
I just forget.
We just forget.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It was way worse when we were doing the show daily, but
Oh man. That was tough. That was tough and rough and stuff.
And stuff. That's right. Cold and old and tough and rough and stuff. Kenny, I'm gonna take us to another segment here.
Okay.
Beep, 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 as I go and grab the right
clicking on the mouse.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's time for some science news.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, so much science. Ugh.
That's right.
That was loud.
You're welcome.
In my ear hole.
Did you happen to see from where you were the SpaceX launch that happened down in Southern California?
No, I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. I was driving.
Oh, you were driving the opposite way.
I was driving.
You were driving north.
That's correct. I was driving north.
Yeah, but I mean, some people caught this on their dash cam. And then they caught a three-car pileup.
That's right. I saw that. That was pretty good. Were they tailgating? Do you know?
No, they were not tailgating because they were able to catch all of the crash, which means that they were not involved in the crash.
Got it.
They were driving safely. I think I want to see a metric of people who drive with dash cams, whether or not they drive safer or not. What, you know, like, does the dash cam make them drive safer because they want to catch other people doing bad stuff? Or
what are you gonna do?
Are
with
you more
it?
Inclined to drive unsafe? But you have
knowing proof that the proof, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, since I got my dash cam that you gave me, I think last Christmas.
Yeah.
Was it last Christmas?
Last Christmas. See, I gave again, you the cam. You put it on your dash and you drove it away.
367
this
days
year,
later.
I forgot. You gave me a pizza fryer.
And that is and, so
and
much
that is
better.
Very special.
But I haven't been in an accident since you gave that to me, since you gifted it to me.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Look at me saving your life.
But I hadn't been in an accident the entire year before that without a dash cam. So I can't say whether or not My metric is accurate.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't have anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Great. We really got off the rails here, Kenny. I just wanted to look at the pictures because I didn't really get to see this live. And I also, all the pictures I saw were not great. They they were on Instagram or they were, you know.
There's a Vimeo time lapse that was posted yesterday.
Okay. That seems cool.
Let me try to find that for listeners.
Hey, how about we don't do that while we're recording a show live so you don't get so distracted.
I won't get distracted, don't worry.
Okay. All right. Well, here's some more important science news for you.
All right.
Then there's going to be, or there soon is coming soon, Kenny.
Yeah.
A tearless onion.
A tearless onion, like when I cut it, I don't cry?
That's right. If you get incredibly sad when you're slicing and dicing those sweet bulbs,
yeah.
Soon you will not have to. Your eyes will be very dry. And
is it genetically modified?
It is, well, I guess technically, if you're talking about breeding foods and whatnot together, that's technically genetically modified. You're altering the genetics of...
But not scientifically. You're just breeding it. You're just saying, this type of onion over here doesn't give you tears when you cut it, so we're going to keep growing that with all these other onions.
Precisely. They're called sunions.
Oh, come on.
I feel like Funyuns would have been better, because you have so much
more fun.
That's
a brand. That's already a thing, Kyle.
Are you sure?
Funyuns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have so much more fun when you're cutting these and you don't cry, though.
Who has fun cutting anything?
Like sad onions. Or regular onions.
Sad onions.
Sad onions.
Well, I think I remember.
Absorbed. Sad onions.
Absorbed.
Sad onion.
Please don't. I think I remember reading that if you chew gum while you're cutting an onion,
doesn't work.
Not one of these sunions. No. Oh, you say it doesn't work. You've tried it.
Yep. I've tried pretty much. I've cut a lot of onions in my day, Kenny, if you know what I mean.
I think you're lying.
I've cut a lot of onions.
What kind of gum was it? Onion gum?
It was. It was spicy onion gum.
God.
I feel like you would need to chew something that complemented the onions, right? It had to be tomato gum or...
No. Wait, complemented the onion? Absolutely not. I think you'd have to go opposite onion. Like the bitter... I'm trying to think of raw onion taste. It's just like bitter and Huh. What's opposite of huh?
I have a.
I think it's fruit stripe. I think that's what's opposite.
I don't like fruit stripe and onions.
Fruit stripe and onions.
That doesn't sound good at all. I've tried the gum thing. I've also tried putting my head in. Well, trying to cut with my eyes closed. That's how I got this on my finger. I've also tried sticking my head in a freezer.
What?
I cut it off. I put it in the freezer. Yeah. No, I went and opened the freezer and put my eyeballs in the freezer.
Plop.
It kind of works a little bit, a tiny bit.
Okay.
I also bought onion goggles. Have you seen my onion goggles?
Oh my gosh.
I bought onion goggles. I'm telling you, I cry a lot when I cut onions. It's so sad.
I'm going to say right now, yeah, that these sunions, it's not going to fix your problem.
I think it might.
If you're that susceptible to these
fixes. I'm just a sensitive onion cutting. I'm a sensitive onion cutter.
I think that a different type of onion isn't going to fix it. I think you're going to, that's just part of your genetics. You just cry when you cut onions, no matter what kind of onion it is. Unless they actually go in and modify the actual genetics of onion.
I cry when I cut leeks.
Your eye leaks. I know.
It's bad. I cry. I just cry a lot, I guess. Oh, boy. It's, you know, you gotta
You're
let
just
it.
So happy when you cook.
It's not a happy cry. It's more of a.
Oh, I have to cook again.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of. Okay. We'll try this. You're coming today. I got a lot of onions, and we're probably making burgers tonight. So get ready.
Wait, what? I thought we were going to try to go to the Taco Bell cantina we talked about last week.
I don't have time for that. No, you're going to be here so late. No, come on.
It's open until 11. I think I remember reading. I'm just saying.
This is our science segment.
Oh my gosh, so much science. Ugh.
We need to put it to the test.
Okay. All right, that's fine. That's fine.
Can we find a way to not cry so much?
Okay, that's fine.
And also, can we cut onions without crying? more science news, Kenny. The world's smallest phone is here. Please just look at this photo.
All right, I'm gonna click on this link. Oh my goodness. It's bigger than the Zoolander phone, though.
You think so? It's not a flip. It's not a flip phone.
Okay.
It is.
I guess if the flip phone head was open, that would be as big as. Yeah, maybe that is bigger, or that is as big as the Zoolander phone.
It can store up to 300 numbers, 500 SMS messages, and has a 200 milliamp hour battery.
Okay.
It's from a company called Zanko.
Zanko.
Sounds pretty good.
From the makers of Sunyuns.
I think Zanko would make Sunyuns, but I think they would still be like fried little onion rings. And a mix between onion rings and Sun Chips.
Ooh.
Now, hold on a second.
Wait a second.
I would eat enough of those to make me cry. Probably. This is a small little phone. I was just curious. Would you use this?
No, I wouldn't. Not only would I not use it, Kyle, I would lose it.
I think I would swallow it. not on purpose, but like while trying to talk into it.
Yeah, it only works on aging 2G networks. That's great. How are you supposed to type?
This would be like a long fingernails. Only. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I imagine that she's able to use her long fingernails to kind of pinpoint the number. I don't have fingernails, so I wouldn't be able to do that. I would need to use like a pen tip.
Nope. You got to grow them specifically for the Zanko phone. Because we're going all in on Zanko. Early bird pledges start at $47 and it'll ship in May 2018. So you can't get it yet, but it's coming soon. Potentially. And Kenny, last one. Speaking of small things, Oak Ridge National Laboratory created the world's smallest fidget spinner.
Yes.
Yes.
The world's smallest fidget spinner. I'm waiting to be impressed.
I'm not. I'm pretty impressed with these real, real small fidget spinners.
I don't like that the National Laboratory has been working on this for who knows how long.
There's got to be some practical application, right? Because molecules don't get bored and need to focus. This has got to be specifically for, let's see, it's 100 microns wide, almost 130 times smaller than Texas A&M's version that they created earlier.
Oh, so not only is it...
There's a tiny fidget spinner battle going on between these different laboratories.
It's tiny, that's for sure. It's just two schools.
It's two labs. Okay. All right.
But that's pretty good. Oh, wait, hold on. Texas A&M, their earlier take on the record was a half-inch version. Yeah, that doesn't seem like they were trying that hard.
Okay. I think they were probably using still, like, ball bearings and actual... mechanical right. parts. This
they were
is,
saying, what's the smallest that we can produce, like with
our things we tangible. Have already? This one is actually 3D printed. Okay, which is yeah. just it, oh, that's wild.
Yeah. It's oh, 3D printers are awesome now.
Well, and also very tiny. Apparently, yeah. you can make real tiny small things.
They should make like just a bunch of these, and like make a fidget spinner out of mini fidget spinners.
Could you like breathe on it and then have it like generate energy, maybe? Like capture energy with a fidget spinner on a are surface.
Are you saying I don't that you know. Want windmills of yeah. tomorrow to be built like a fidget spinner so that you just
maybe.
Kinda like the propeller?
It just keeps going forever. Sounds like a bad option.
Sorry, I got distracted by what I thought was a wind gust against my window.
Okay.
It was just a really, really loud garbage truck. Like really loud garbage truck coming through my window.
Why are your garbage trucks showing up at 7:52 a.m.?
Because it is
7:52 a.m.
Wednesday.
Okay. Yes, correct. Which would make this over on Twitch completely wrong because it was a holiday, but
sorry here, everybody here we it are. Was Boxing Day.
It was indeed Boxing Day. What'd you box?
Other things.
A kangaroo. Boxes. All right, good. Kenny, I've got a quick game. We're gonna game. Yeah, I know. We're gonna fill the time here. Our 8 minutes, last 8 minutes here. With a game of world's largest vegetable, high and low. And fruit, I guess. World's largest
song for this one.
I don't. I didn't make one. I've spent all my time this morning on Mickey. World's largest vegetables and fruits, high, low. You'll still have a 50% chance here.
Perfect.
But I'm going to mention the fruit and or vegetable. I will mention a weight for said vegetable.
And I'll wait for you to do it.
And or fruit, you will wait for me to tell you. And then you'll guess whether or not the real weight for the biggest one is higher or lower than what I said.
Okay.
All right, Kenny. Number one, the world's biggest sweet potato.
Uh-huh.
45 pounds. Higher or lower?
I feel like the world's largest sweet potato could be higher than 45 pounds. I'm trying to guess what the size of that would be. Like what is 45 pounds measured out?
Of potato. Yeah.
Of potato. And I imagine that would be like 2 feet of potato. No, only like a foot and a half. I think that's big. I think it's higher. Oh, no.
24.9 pounds.
Oh, so even smaller than I was thinking.
Pretty small for a sweet potato, right?
I was guessing like a toddler of sweet potato. Like, you know,
yeah,
like, I guess a fifth grader of sweet potato.
Sure. Kenny, number two.
Okay.
The world's largest zucchini. We say zucchini. The Brits say marrow.
What?
Yeah. Weird, right?
Like bone marrow?
Yeah.
Do we have bone zucchini?
We don't. No.
Here in America?
Mm-mm. World's largest zucchini. 68 pounds.
Oh, higher.
Higher,
way higher
or lower?
Higher.
All right. You want to guess about what it would be?
I would guess like 110, 120.
113. Look at that.
Woo.
Yeah.
Nice work.
I'm guessing that thing's like 3 feet long.
It is about, yes, it's about 3 feet long.
I have good vegetable measuring skills in my head.
Yes, you do.
I don't eat them very much.
Yeah, that's right. Number three, Kenny, the world's heaviest jackfruit.
What?
The world's heaviest jackfruit. Have you never seen a jackfruit?
What's a jackfruit?
It's like yellow and it's got little pointy things. If you're going to look for anything during the show, now's the time to look for a Google jackfruit.
Is it one word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, jackfruit. Got it. It's like a kiwi guava deal.
Yeah, they grow on a tree, Kenny. 85 pounds for the world's heaviest jackfruit. Higher or lower?
85 pounds, huh? I would say, no, I don't know about... I'm looking... I see like a plate of them. 85 pounds? I would say lower.
You're right. 76 pounds for the world's heaviest jackfruit. It's still really big.
It's still... Yeah. This is weird.
All right.
Have you had jackfruit?
I've probably not. I've had starfruit.
Okay. All right.
And fruit stripe. Number four, the world's largest green cabbage, 42 pounds. Higher or lower?
Of green cabbage?
Cabbage, yeah.
Of cabbage. it's all water weight, so I'm going to say higher.
76 pounds.
Isn't that the first one that we said?
Big cabbage.
Oh, no. Wasn't that the same as the jackfruit?
Yes.
Weird.
Conspiracy. Large vegetable cabbage. Conspiracy. Kenny, world's largest watermelon.
Oh.
435 pounds. Higher or lower?
435?
Yeah.
What? That's a fifth of a ton.
Higher or lower?
Oh.
How much diarrhea would a 400-pound watermelon give you? Higher or lower?
500 pounds.
That's probably true.
I'm going to say higher. I want to see a giant watermelon.
No. I thought it would be so much bigger, too. 268.8 pounds for the world's largest watermelon. Not that big.
Yeah, but probably the size of a scooter or something.
Smaller. Much smaller.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just all rind. There's no water in it.
Mostly. Yeah, it's just melon. Number six, world's heaviest carrot. 14.8 pounds.
Oh, higher. Come on, 14 pounds?
All right, 18.9 pounds for the world's heaviest carrot.
Wait, what? That's it?
I know.
I would imagine something like Peter Rabbit size, where it was like, you know, gargantuan if I were a rabbit.
Okay. All right. Putting it in perspective. I get it.
Yeah.
That's fine. We know these can get real big. Number seven, Kenny, world's largest pumpkin.
Oh,
4,220 pounds.
All higher I can imagine.
Or lower.
All I can imagine is that.
Oh, no, it's wrong. No, sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean to hit that. I'm clicking the wrong mouse here. It's going to the other side of the room. It's going to the other side of the room. I'm not going to click
it. All I can imagine is that episode of Hey Arnold where Stinky grows the giant pumpkin and then he lives inside of it.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
That one, they had to use a crane to lift it up.
What's that called? George and the Giant Pumpkin? Or
James and the Giant Peach?
Whatever, it's fine. Same thing.
You know, George and the Giant Pumpkin?
Hi, welcome to my jungle. I'm inside a giant pumpkin. It's fine.
Welcome to my jungle pumpkin.
All right, Kenny.
I'm going to say lower.
You're right. Much,
but not by much.
Much lower.
Oh, really?
1,689 pounds.
Darn. So back not even a ton yet.
No, back in 2007. Surprising, wow. Right? Real surprising.
Wow.
The world's longest cucumber. So we're not doing weight here. We're doing length. 26.5 inches.
Higher.
Longer or shorter?
Higher. Longer.
All right. You want to make a guess?
4 feet.
36.1 inches.
Darn it. 3 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I said for the zucchini earlier.
Couple more, Kenny. Just to wrap up our show here. Number 9, world's largest cauliflower, 87 pounds. Ooh. Higher or lower?
I think that's way too high. I think lower.
All right, you want to make a guess?
Like 60 pounds?
31.25.
Oh, half of that what I was guessing.
I know. Not that big, honestly.
It's just so flowery. It doesn't like the stock would be...
The leaves around the cauliflower head much bigger. Yeah, no, they're huge though. They are gargantuan. Yeah. The thing with these vegetables is that they're grown by the same people. So there's something in the soil, I'm thinking.
Or there's something in the fertilizer.
That's they had that watermelon, you know? They did. And Kenny, number 10, the world's heaviest broccoli. So let's go similar. Let's say 34 pounds. Higher.
I'm going to say higher for broccoli. Weirdly. Like broccoli would be heavier than cauliflower.
Why? You know what? You're too good at these games.
I'm sorry. I have good practice.
You're way too good. It's not fun for people. I mean, it's fun when you get things wrong. It's not fun for me. Maybe it's fun for listeners.
It's so much fun for me.
Yeah, okay. All right.
It's so much fun for you to hit the ding and then for you to squirm. Like, dang it. You're supposed to get it wrong.
Well, if you'd like to listen to other shows where Kenny gets a whole bunch of stuff right, you can go over to goodstuff.fm/morningshow and listen to some of the other great shows.
This is the last one of the year, we've got.
That's right. This is the last one of 2017, so do yourself a favor. And reminisce by listening to all of our other episodes and subscribing to a few new shows like Three Guys, Three Questions, Way Too Seriously, Non-Breaking Space, and Chris's audio blog, Daily-ish. You can catch us live over on Twitch at twitch.tv/goodstuff_FM. We'll be live probably next Tuesday, depending on how this goes. Maybe Wednesday. Not sure. But until then, goodbye.
Happy New Year, everybody. Goodbye. 2018 is going to be awesome.